Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son so that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people. So that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave to him. And this is eternal life, that you should know and the only true God, the one who was sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the works you gave to me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave to me out of this world. They belong to you. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave to me is from you, because the words you gave to me I have given to them, and they have accepted them and truly understand that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given to me. Because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in this world, but they are in this world while I am coming to you. The Gospel of the Lord. During these days, we are anchored into the Gospel of John. Now, the Gospel of John is unique and quite different from the other three Gospels. It's very late in coming. It's the last gospel to be shaped in the Church of John. It's elusive, somewhat complex, and difficult to understand at its first reading. The Gospel of John, to be understood, needs to be studied, and therefore, it's very difficult to grasp it in a very short time given to us for a homily. Johannine Jesus, the Jesus of John, is powerful. No agony in the garden, no anguish in Jesus in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, nobody takes my life. I lay down my life and I take it up again. Jesus is always powerful in the Gospel of John. He's always in charge, not so much in the other Gospels. And now, to lift one teaching out of this text given to us today from the 17th chapter of the book of John, let me pause with you for a moment over one word. The hour is coming, said Jesus. Now, in the Greek language, there are two words for the hour. One is chronos. Chronos logos gives us an English word, chronology, which means sequential time, 60 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. When you speak of chronos in Greek, you're speaking about 60 minutes. It's an hour. It's not the word that's used here. The word that's used here is kairos, and kairos means a moment, not 60 minutes. It means your greatest hour. Your greatest hour is not 60 minutes. Your worst hour is not 60 minutes. It's a passage. It's a moment or a passage of time. So Jesus said, the hour is coming for the Son of Man to be glorified. It appears one more time in the Gospel of John, way back in chapter 12. And there, when it's used, Jesus says to his disciples, the hour is coming for the Son of Man to be glorified, but the seed must fall into the earth and die, otherwise it remains just a seed. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. That's the teaching of Jesus. So when he's speaking about the hour, he's speaking about his time of suffering and departure from his disciples. They don't understand that. They want a powerful Messiah. They want a miracle worker. They don't understand a suffering Messiah, a Messiah that sacrifices. They don't understand a Messiah that goes down on his knees and washes the feet of his disciples. A Messiah who gives the Eucharist to his 12 disciples, including Judas. They're all given the Eucharist. They're looking for a powerful Messiah who will help the people of Israel to be free. And now Jesus comes and says, the hour has come for me to leave you. And that's a sad thing for them. So let me look at this moment of Kairos and see and wonder what it means in your life and in my life. Kairos is that moment when you stop everything and you take a second look. Might come in a time of great failure, when you fail in life. Sometimes that happens to parents if they think they failed in life. It happens sometimes when people get sick and all of a sudden life changes. They used to have great plans and their plans are gone now. Life changes. That's Kairos. That's a moment of transformation. Perhaps when somebody very close to you dies, you stop and you begin to think about the meaning of life. And I've often wondered at funerals, you know, we eulogize the person that died, but we should also ask what this moment means to us who survived the person who died. What must I change in my life now that I have handed somebody over to the Lord? Do I need to forgive somebody? Do I need to be reconciled? Do I need to be more generous, more kind, more understanding? Do I need to belong to somebody? Do I need to listen to somebody? That's Kairos. And it touches us in a time of crisis. For sure, when your life is prosperous and everything is fine, you will not understand Kairos. Kairos is a moment when things go wrong and you're wondering, how could God do this to me? We ask questions like that. That's Kairos. It's life-altering. It happens to us at certain moments of grace and teaching in our lives. It also happens in the life of Christ. He went through these Kairos transforming moments. He wept over Jerusalem because they had not known the time of their visitation. He did not convert his own people. He wept over that. He's abandoned. He's betrayed. He walks to Calvary by himself. He dies an anguish, painful death, ignominious death on the cross. These are all moments when you enter into this in the life of Christ, you say, wow, that changes my whole experience of Jesus Christ. Not the powerful. It happens in the church. In 1965, the end of the Vatican Council, the church published a document, a very lengthy and important document, on the pastoral constitution of the church in the modern world, called Gaudium et Spes in Latin. And in this, it begins early by saying, we are very conscious of the sins of the church, because transformation will only begin when we're conscious of our sins. And therefore the church, it says, we are very aware of the difference between the message of the gospel and the one who proclaims the message. The church that proclaims the message can be quite different than the essential message of Jesus Christ. We want a powerful church. Is Holy Family powerful because we have a lot of people or because we have money to pay our bills? That's not what makes Holy Family powerful. What makes Holy Family powerful is we're compassionate, we're forgiving, we're generous. You think about that. When last did you or did I give a generous donation to the poor? Not for a tax write-off. I mean a generous donation to the poor. Poor people, they're all around us. When last did we spend time listening to an undocumented person who is overcome with fear? Does that person belong to us? What's your kairos moment? When you meet this person, your lights go on and you say, wow, I need to belong to this person. I need to bless this person. I need to embrace this person. I need to help this person. That's kairos. That's a moment of revelation. And it comes in a church. It comes in our personal lives. We're following Jesus Christ here. And the kairos moment is the moment of suffering. When everything is fine and you're prosperous and all is good, you won't change. You don't have to change. You have everything. But then someday, somebody gets sick or somebody dies. And all of a sudden, you're looking at things you didn't see before. Now you're wondering what the meaning of life is. What's the kairos moment, teaching moment? In Washington today, we have a major, major gathering in prayer. The Christian prayer, which is very good. I mean, the nation is called to pray 250 years after we were founded. Keep in mind that the mall where the big gathering of prayer today is the same place in 1963 that a black man, Martin Luther King, stood up and said, I have a dream. I have a dream where everybody will be treated equally. I have a dream that we will bless all people irrespective of their color, their origin, or their language. I have a dream that this is the meaning of being great in America, that all are welcome. In our church, what makes Holy Family great? Compassion, faith, prayer, welcoming, forgiving, understanding. And it's not the big community, it's in our homes. The first church is in our homes. So think about kairos in your home. So something kind of comes to you where you say, there's somebody missing. There's somebody wounded. There's somebody in great need. And I haven't noticed it until I hit a kairos moment and I say, Jesus said, the seed must fall into the earth and die. Otherwise, it remains just a seed. But if it dies, if sacrifice, forgiveness, compassion, then we are reborn into a new understanding of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. So take the word of God today, and when you leave here, allow the word of God to make a difference in your life today. On this day, it's a kairos day. Do you need to include somebody? Do you need to forgive someone? Do you need to ask for forgiveness? Years and years ago, I used to visit the retired priests. Cardinal Manning and I used to visit retired priests every Saturday. And if we had sick priests in Santa Monica and Long Beach, I'd go to one and he'd go to the other. And there was an old priest at Nazareth House on the west side. And he was a cranky old fellow, actually. He was Irish. He used to drink a little bit. But he was very wise, and he was very well-read. I mean, he was a voracious reader. So each time I'm leaving John, I'd say, John, say something wise to me. Well, he said some things that weren't so wise. But on one occasion, he said to me, Clem, remember this, he said. If you want to live more than one life, you must die more than once. Do you want to live a new life in Christ? You have to die. Die to something. Kairos. Amen.